Hello and welcome to another episode of the Daily Objective. Today it's day 156 of the war Israel. I'm Daniel and today joining me is a man who needs no introduction.
What's up?
I'm sorry,
And you
for
literally
putting you on
gave
the
me
spot.
no introduction.
Of course, great Mark
Thanks.
Pellegrino, an actor, is joining me today. We're going to talk about there's a recent story that came out. It only came out in Hebrew. I wasn't even able to find it in English so far. So let me quickly read you basically the IDF spokesperson in Arabic, Lieutenant Colonel Avichai Idri, issued an unusual announcement today inviting Lebanese residents to contact the Mossad. Why? Well, apparently a lot of Lebanese citizens, some of them who even identify themselves as Hezbollah operatives, expressed concern that Hezbollah would take Lebanon toward a fate similar to Gaza. So they were asking to contact Israeli officials to maybe provide them with something, maybe ask questions. Yeah, basically try to prevent any escalation of conflict between Hezbollah and Israel. So Mark, what did you think about this story when you the first time you read it?
Well, I don't want to be premature, but it's music to my ears. While the rest of the world is melting down morally and protesting for the Gazan criminals and criminal society, Hezbollah seems to understand what's really going on here. And what's really going on is their existence as a terrorist organization is in jeopardy, as it should be. They shouldn't be around at all. They're not long for this world. But like every parasite and criminal, they want to live. They know what's that the dagger is poised at their throat, and the fact that they're willing to come to the table to start to maybe give up some of their more vicious and despicable members to the Mossad sounds like real progress to me. And if Israel could just buck the pressure for a little bit longer, continue their excursions in the south to completion, do not let Hamas get the diplomatic upper hand. It's going to take a lot of moral strength because the world is increasingly turning against them, as we can see from the protests. If they can do that, they're going to send a message to Hezbollah. And even Iran is, I think, will quake in their boots knowing that a country is choosing to stand on its own against popular opinion and not buckle. This is very significant. If Israel caves to the diplomatic pressure they're experiencing now, I think the war is done. I think Western civilization may be on the way out.
So next couple of days are definitely going to be, and last couple of days have definitely been eventful. Like, yeah, we see people in, so I should explain maybe a bit of context. So when you think of Hezbollah and comparing them to Hamas, it's slightly different. Hezbollah is not a governing authority in Lebanon. Lebanon has a government. Hezbollah is a political party that I believe they are actually in the government. But from what I've heard and what I've seen, basically they do control a large part of the southern part of Lebanon that is on the border with Israel. So that's where they've been launching all the rockets from. And yeah, I think it's really great to see like actual like Lebanese citizens or even some Hezbollah operatives actually going against Hezbollah. When you mentioned Iran, I think I just saw, I didn't get a chance to confirm, but I saw apparently some protesters in Iran attacked some huge like oil facility. So yeah, we definitely see, and I think it's really, and you know, today of course it's the I believe it's the first day of Ramadan, and we have heard, or a couple of weeks ago the IDF was saying that they will attack Rafah by Ramadan. So we'll, in the next couple of days, we'll see what's going to actually happen. We'll see if there is any pressure against them. But yeah, it's definitely a time for Israel, and I think this story proves it, for Israel to really go in harder. What do you think, Mark? I have one more, I have a couple more things to bring up, but anything before we move on?
Well, absolutely. I mean, This is a pivotal moment. I can't express how important this is for Israel to carry on the fight in the face of tremendous pressure to stop. If they stop, they don't just lose to Hamas, they lose to every terrorist organization and state out there that sees that all they have to do is win the war by other means, which is put out, which means putting out a PR campaign that shows enough ugly pictures to offend the sensibilities of first worlders, so that they then put pressure on the defenders, the innocent people, to give up the fight. It's a moral absurdity that has a great deal of purchase right now. And people seem to be less inclined to think independently now, more inclined to go along with the pack, more fearful of what the pack can do to them if they break away. And so that pressure is so tremendous. There are times I thought Israel would buckle to it, and they can't. They can't. I nearly feel like I want to buckle to it because it's so intense. Just as an outsider defending Israel, I get a lot of flack. There's a lot of hate. It's an extremely organized hate mob of pro-Gazans out there that are ready to attack anybody who sticks their head up out of the poppies to protest what they're doing. So yeah, if they continue with it, not only Hamas will fall, but other terrorist states will quake in their boots, knowing that there's a power out there that will take the fight all the way to the finish. So Israel's not just fighting Hamas; they're not just fighting Hezbollah. They're fighting an anti-Western attitude out there that's really thinks it has the upper hand right now, and really thinks it can sow enough chaos to topple the West. And if they can't, then we can turn the tide.
Yeah, something we shouldn't forget is that Hezbollah was supposed to be part of the October 7 attacks. It just so happened that Hamas and Hezbollah didn't really communicate well on when it's going to happen. And basically, after that, and after America really stood behind Israel, at least in the first days, that's when the Hezbollah backed off a little bit. But they still have continued the sort of small rocket fires and so on. But yeah, you have to, yeah, as you said, Israel is not at war just with Hamas. The whole Middle East is watching what's gonna happen. They wanna s if they see Israel backing off, they
But
know.
not just the Middle East, though, Daniel. I mean, we're talking about communists and socialists who actually have been attempting to capitalize on paradoxes and chaos within Western society for years and years and years and years, changing their arguments to pit people against each other, promoting their conflict narratives to sow chaos. They're watching as well. And if we can hold strong with Israel against one part of the anti-West faction, it will stand strong against the others as well. And the others are starting to falter here in the States. The intersectionality, DEI, all the ways in which the left is attempting to sow chaos and divide people, is finding no more purchase. It went through a crazy epidemic here for about 2 or 3 years, and now people are fed up. They're done. So all of these great forces for good, hopefully, can collude and push these chaotic, insane folks over the edge, right off the map, and make them irrelevant. But only if Israel continues the fight all the way to its completion, and that means capturing the leaders of Hamas, publicly executing them. I think they should be publicly executed. The world should see what happens to them,
Well,
and/or killing them in battle.
maybe the one thing Israel could do is at least not help their enemies. I mean, I've heard that Yehia Sinwar has again some health issue, and I'm not sure if you know, the last time he had a health issue, he was captured by Israel and treated by Israel and then released by Israel in the hostage deal.
Unbelievable.
So one thing Israel could at least stop doing is aiding their enemies. But complete destruction is what's required. That's why I'm really watching the news in the next couple of days concerning the Rafah offensive, because as they said, Ramadan is now starting, so the tensions are definitely going to be high.
Yes, don't honor Ramadan, fight. They would not honor
Well, they attacked Israel on a Jewish holiday,
Yes,
October
that's
7th. I can find maybe I can quickly find it. But yeah, October 7th was a Jewish holiday.
yeah, you know.
Shemini Atzeret.
Yeah, don't fight fire with fire. Don't honor their holiday. Fight them while they're fasting. That sounds perfect.
Well, something I was thinking about, and you had some a certain problem with. I was wondering if the and that's the title of the today's video is the Palestinian propaganda backfiring, because you know they've definitely been spreading all the figures which we yesterday talked about, all the figures released from the Gaza Health Ministry, which is run by Hamas, are completely fabricated. They have actual no base in reality. They are not just inflated, they are straight up just made up. And all, of course, all the destruction. So what do you think, Mark? Is there some backfiring with their propaganda?
I mean, I'm only seeing it from one perspective, and that's the effect that the propaganda is having on social media. And social media is tailor-made for Hamas propaganda. It's a very superficial medium. It appeals to the concrete-bound mentality, which I think a lot of the people who support Hamas and the Palestinian movement are very concrete. They're not abstract thinkers at all, and the moral complexities of the situation sort of fly by them because they're conceptual in nature. So I see a spread of propaganda. And even though I see people online fighting the fake pictures, the attributions that are fake, there's just so much of it, and they know that all they have to do is one out of a thousand things they put out there has to stick, and it doesn't matter if it's true or not, so long as it gets purchase in the culture, because once it's there, and there'll always be somebody to promote it. Even if it's debunked a thousand times in the social media sphere, it doesn't matter. Somebody's going to pick it up as if it's a new discovery and pass it on to somebody else. And that becomes knowledge for them. So I'm experiencing the opposite. All I see on my social media feed, maybe it's the algorithms, you could tell me you're a tech guy, is anti-Israel protests in London, in New York, floods of people in the streets, hating on Israel, and a minuscule response on site, and very few people banded together pro-Israel online.
Yeah, it's definitely, unfortunately, still big. I believe in London it's still happening every Saturday. Razi, the director of ARC UK, who is currently now in Amsterdam, when we had a random call, he saw random protests, and you know it was the same kind of propaganda. They had the borders of Palestine from the 47, and you know until now.
Yeah, they always show that those stupid maps.
Yeah,
And it, no, no matter how you how many times you debunk those maps, or contextualize them so that people actually understand what they mean, it doesn't matter. They just keep circulating. And
so
that's what's
yeah.
discouraging from the outside, as a person who's pro-Israel and an activist myself. It's discouraging to see the same information recycled over and over and over again, because you think, once I beat this narrative, it's dead. But it's not. It's never dead.
Yeah, it makes it yeah, because and that's the problem with people who don't really like care about yeah, finding out what's right, but just care about propaganda or just care about you know, supporting Palestine, whatever. Because yeah, if you're fighting with someone and you both hold reality and truth as the standard, then your disagreement is only because you have some disagreement in reality. And once you can prove it, once as with the borders, you know, for example, there was no Palestine in 67. Once you can prove that, you should be able to, okay, we can now move on to, you know, something maybe a bit harder, something maybe more important. But no, it keeps coming back no matter how many times you say it. And as you said, you had You have a lot of pro-Palestinian stuff on X, formerly known as Twitter. Recently, for some reason, Norman Finkelstein has been promoted on my Twitter, so I've been reading a lot of stuff from that perspective.
I'm sorry, and what do you think?
About what exactly?
Norman Finkelstein.
I mean, well, I think it's tomorrow where his 5 or 7 hours interview or a debate is gonna come out. It was him, Destiny, Benny Moritz, and some other person for the pro-Palestinian side. So I'm gonna watch that. From what I've heard, because I do watch Destiny's live stream, Norman Finkelstein was very condescending, very, you know, he
That's what
speaks like that, and you
yes, he
know.
speaks very slowly, and this is the way he does every interview. It's disgusting. It makes me want to shoot myself in the head. I'm sure Destiny whooped on him. I've heard quite a bit about Destiny, but Norman doesn't like all of the droogs who are pro-Palestinian. They don't know when they've been knocked out. They don't care. They're immune to facts. There's something else animating these folks. Hatred, desire to be a nihilistic impulse that's being fed, by the insanity. It's something other than facts, that's for sure. So it that's and that's troubling to people who are fact-oriented and like truth. To confront an animal like that is a very puzzling thing. It's disturbing. It can overturn your worldview in a sense. Because you sort of hold the implicit idea that, well, since facts are so important to our survival, everybody must gravitate towards them. Everybody must hold them as sacred, but people don't. There are people who don't, and that's a very, very scary, scary truth to be confronted with.
And that's what's actually scary about Norman Finkelstein, because that's what he always says. You know, I only talk about the facts. This is not my opinions. This is just facts. While twisting the facts. I'll watch the 5 hour debate, and I'm gonna have a fun with that. Let me quickly cover the super chat. So we have a 99 cents from Bonnie. Thank you so much. £5 from Michael. Thank you so much. $5 from GG Ryder. He says, Harris Sultan and Navari played video of Iranians booing politicians who bash Israel. A stadium crowd yelling, "Show Palestinian flag up your ass." So yeah, we've in the yeah recently we've seen a lot of protests coming from Iran, and yeah, not many people are talking about it, especially in the West. I mean, I
Of course
remember
not.
even. I remember even a few months back, maybe a year, there were huge like female protests in Iran, and again, we haven't heard much about them. So,
Yeah, and our leaders don't do much to promote them either. When there was the Green Revolution, Obama was silent. And the rebellions now, I mean, the women in Iran have to be praised as possibly the most courageous people on earth for doing what they're doing. And of course, our legacy media is not going to talk about protests in one of the most benighted regions in the world because it's pro-West. And Iran, if a revolution actually happens there and the mullahs are overturned and liberal democracy is brought to Iran, I can't wait to go to Tehran and have dinner with my liberal brothers and sisters over there.
I mean, yeah, someone should definitely go look up pictures of Iran or an Iranian people before the revolution. It's so crazy to see these people in, you know, I think it was the 60s or 70s with sort of like, yeah, Western clothing, listening to Western music. It's unbelievable to see
Yeah, women could
compared
go
to
to
today.
school, could get PhDs, could run for office. They were an open, relatively open society. Of course, they were run by the Shah, who was a tyrant in his own right, but nothing like the mullahs, who would be very happy to drag the Iranian people into the dark ages.
And we have one more super chat from GG Rider for $5. Thank you so much. He says, I know about WAC claims like 500 at Al-Shifa, but I somehow put out a reliable estimates to refute 30,000. He's referring to the 30,000 casualties reported by the well, I don't even want to say reported because, as we've talked about on today's episode, it's straight up made up. But yeah, as Gaza Health Ministry gives out. He also says Palestine or Palestine is colonial Roman and British. I think he's referring to the name of the region. So one thing I would say, yeah, there is no. So in the past, the conflicts in Gaza were much smaller, and you had some other, people who tracked the casualties as well as Israel tracked there. But because of how big this conflict is, how deep and how overwhelming, there is no. Well, Israel publishes their numbers when it comes to the Hamas militants, which is pretty much the only thing we can somewhat trust to go on. I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's anything worth. Of quoting the number that Gaza Health Ministry gives. I think it's completely manufactured, and I don't think there's anything good that can come out of it.
And I don't know that we're ever going to have clear numbers on that because no international organization is going to give us clear numbers on that. I don't think they're objective. I think they're Israel biased. And any number that comes out of the IDF is going to be immediately questioned by the anti-Semites of the world. So those of us who are pro-Israel and just want to know the facts are going to be hard for, we're going to, of course, have to believe the IDF as the more legitimate source. But we're in some respect, we're going to be swimming in no man's land as well.
So I would just point out that in the past, from a little bit I've read, it seems like the Israel numbers, when you compare like the Israel numbers, the Hamas numbers, and the international like UN numbers, they were the UN numbers and Gaza numbers were slightly exaggerated, and when it came to civilian ratios, they were completely different. But generally we're somewhat in the same range. But the problem with this conflict is that there are no numbers. There are no nothing we can go off. But
I mean,
as I
how
said,
do they know the ratios then if they don't know any numbers?
what do you mean? Like in the past?
Well, I mean, how do they know the ratios? Let's say they say the normal ratio for urban warfare is like is a very high civilian casualty count, and Israel has a surprise has an incredibly low civilian casualty count,
So,
comparatively speaking. But how can they come up with those ratios without numbers?
you mean the Palestinians or the Hamas?
No, is Israel because is it hasn't Israel come up with ratio
Oh,
numbers?
well, not. I don't believe in. I think the ratio we have is when we compare Israel numbers to Hamas numbers. I'm not sure if Israel gives out their ratio or if they know it. So. There's one more thing I wanted to bring up. So yeah, when it comes to this ratio, I think you said I normally in this urban environment it's said to be like 1 to 9, I believe, or something like that, meaning militant to a civilian. So it's really big. But from what we understand, potential. So even with the Hamas numbers, it seems like the ratio is 1 to 2, which is crazy. Like you could say it's still a lot of civilians, twice the number of civilians. But in this scenario, it's crazy to have this sort of ratio. And once we learn that the Hamas numbers are most likely manufactured, and if they are lower, we could even see ratios such as low as 1.4 to 1. Or even 1 to 1, which would be completely unprecedented in such a conflict. And it really shows that Israel, despite we don't think should be as much, trying to be careful when it comes to civilian casualties, because again, it really hampers their goal of actually rooting out Hamas, it still shows that they are really being careful with it.
Yeah, when I see even the Hamas numbers, given the density of the population of Gaza, I'm always surprised at how few those casualties are. But try to convince the pro-Gaza contingent that, that's a surprisingly small amount of casualties considering the density of the population.
Well, maybe if you had something like Owen Jones on, he would say, well, those numbers are probably low because there are people buried in rubble that haven't been counted. So the actual numbers is probably higher. All right. We
If
have
they're
to
high,
talk.
they've done an I don't know if you'd call it an admirable job, but they've certainly attempted to appease the world's sense of what a power should do in warfare.
We have a couple of minutes left. Anything else to say, Mark?
Well, I hope Hezbollah is coming to its senses. Of course, if it were coming to its senses, it would cease to exist, but I think they might see the writing on the wall, and if Israel's able to keep up its fight all the way to the end until it pushes Hamas into the sea, then Hezbollah will also take note. Iran's mullahs will take note. The anti-Western part of the world that includes all of the collectivists, socialists and commies alike, will take note as well.
And let me just quickly thank the super chatters. Thank you, Jonathan Honig, for $4.99. And also thank you, Apollo Seuss, for £5. It's actually off-topic question. Mark, do you know Keith Hackney from UFC 3 and 4, who also did some acting?
No, that's really going back.
Well, and
Since
with
last
that.
night with UFC 299, that's a long time ago.
And with that, thank you, Mark, for joining me today. We'll be back with, actually, we'll have the reality show Extra coming up. That's for YouTube members, and our regular members can join directly through the Zoom link. So I'm putting that in the chat. And of course, we'll be back with the daily objective tomorrow. Beware, American viewers, that there was a America switched to the daylight savings times, so technically we are starting 1 hour later for you, since we are on UK time, and United Kingdom hasn't switched to daylight savings. But we will have to deal with the same issue half a year later. But until then, thank you, Mark, for joining me. Thank you, everyone,
Thank you.
and bye bye.